Good morning, everyone. My name is Huawei Wang, and I'm a master's student at Crop and Soil and Environmental Sciences Department in the Auburn University at Alabama. And today, I'm going to present you with a little result we've done in the last year about Bobran 713 derived lines performance in the greenhouse micropod and field trials. I'm going to start everyone off with a very short introduction with rainform nematodes. It's a pretty costly nematode that's often occurred in the tropical and subtropical region, and it's reported to be responsible for about 4.4% of total U.S. cotton yield. That's translated to about 800,000 bales each year. And in one test, in our field, it is reported that up to 70% of yield can be lost due to this nematode infestation. And here's a picture of this nematode. It's a plant parasite. And through the traditional efforts on controlling that nematode is pretty ineffective, so genetic resistance is always what scientists are after. And through a combined effort from Texas A&M and USDA ARS, they found a high resistance in Gossypium barbadensis, that's Pima cotton, accession named GB713, and through crossing and back crosses with Gossypium hirsutum germplasm line, a cloud name X, they've developed a germplasm release called Bobran 713 to the public. And there are two major QTLs that's identified to have resistance to the rainiform nematodes. One is located on chromosome 21, named RANBOB2, and that's closely related, tightly linked to the SSR marker BNL3279. And the other one is located on chromosome 18, which is closely linked with BNL569131. Before I came to Auburn, there's already a breeding program going on in the university taking advantage of the Bobran 713 release. There's a population developed by crossing Bobran 713 with AU3202. That's an elite line developed by Auburn University with high linked yield. And there were 100 F2 plants genotyped with the SSR marker BNL3279. And those 100 plants were then developed into F2-derived F3 lines. And currently, last year, we have F2-derived F5 seeds. And when I came here, I took over the bar to continue genotyping those plants with BNL569 markers. However, I encountered major difficulties trying to genotyping them because this marker is particularly hard to amplify in our progenies. And I finally got some results last summer, and from those results, most lines are homozygous negative, suggesting there might not be in the population at all. So our initial intent was to select 40 lines with four groups, mix and matching those two SSR markers to those two QTLs, trying to study the effect of each QTL and their gene interaction. But because of the difficulty with genotyping BNL569, we then used our fallback program, just using 40 lines with BNL3279 genotypes. 20 of them are homozygous positive, denoted rest group in the following study, and 20 of them are homozygous negative, denoted as sus group in the following study. So my main objectives of this program is to test RANBOB2's QTL's performance in fields with measurements of rainiform nematode reproduction and linked yield. And we also included greenhouse and microplot screening for rainiform nematode reproduction to compare results to make sure they are consistent with each line. And with all the tests, we also include five controls. The first one, SG747, is commercially available line that's very high in linked yield. but susceptible to rainform nematode. Long range 21-4 is a line released from the incorporation from Gossypium longicalis, and that's highly resistant to rainform nematode. And of course, two of our parents of this population, Barbarin 713 and AU3202. The last line, 103E123, it's a long range derived line that has pretty high exceptional fiber strength that we use to include in the fiber length test. Our field study methods include two fields. One field is rainform nematode infestation, and we measure resistance and linked yield of that to show the performance under high stress. And another field is one without rainform nematode infestation. We use that field to show the yield potential of each line under no nematode stress. And within each field, we have five blocks. Each block, we planted them as single row plots with 40 chosen lines and five controls. And each block is completely randomized and with 225 plots each field. The following picture is a picture from our Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center station. The two fields are actually separated by this road in the between, and the field on the left is the one without rainform nematode, and the field on the right is one with rainform nematode. And the two boxes are where my plots were. And our results showed pretty interesting behavior. This is a greenhouse result last year. The graph is about egg counts versus groups. And I've divided the graph into different sections with resistance groups on the left and susceptible groups on the right. And as you can see, the two groups of interest have drastically different performance and resistance, and the red line is less than 30% egg counts than the sus line. And because the egg count per gram of root is logly distributed because its variance is correlated to its mean, suggesting a log transformation is required for data analysis. So I plotted box plots with log transformation here. As you can see, the big picture didn't change much. The susceptible line is still significantly higher than the resistant line in nematode egg counts, suggesting the resistant lines are truly resistant to rainform nematodes. Our microplot result is consistent with the greenhouse result. As you can see here, the red line is significantly lower than sus line egg counts. And also in the field, our red line performance is consistent. Although the difference is not as drastic as in the greenhouse result due to several reasons, but statistically, they are still significantly different with a p-value smaller than 0.001. And as comparing to the greenhouse result, those two are not as drastic. And the Barbarin 713 line performs much better in the real-world situation than in the controlled greenhouse. And also, the long-range lines performs much worse. As previous paper have suggested, long-range lines are hypersensitive to this nematode. And under real-world condition, the plants are tiny. Their root systems are tiny. So the gram of root number on those are going to be small. With a small denominator, the numbers are going to be pretty high, as you can see here. Also, I did a log transformation and box plotting on the data in the field to show something under the hood. And we can see there are outliers in both groups on the opposite direction that's pulling those two means closer together than those in the greenhouse. And we have suspects in the purity of our lines because of the uncontrolled condition propagating from F2 plants to F2 derived F5 plants, which I will talk about a little bit later. And the extremes from in the Barbarin 713 lines also contribute to the seemingly better performance in the real world situation of the Barbarin 713. And here, finally, is a graph graphing together the results from the two fields. As you can see, the red bars represent the result from the nematode field, while the blue bar represents the result from the non-nematode field. And this is the rest group's performance in the nematode field. As you can see, it leads every other group with a little bit more than 1,000 kilogram per hectare of link yield. And there's around 22% difference between the rest group and the sus group under high nematode pressure. More interestingly, when we remove the high stress of reniform nematode, we have seen a little yield drag introduced with this QTL region. There's around 10% less yield in no nematode condition with the sus group, around 1,500 kilograms per hectare, and the rest group around 1,300 kilograms per hectare. And as you can see, the long run lines, because of hypersensitivity, really didn't yield much, even they have high resistance. Okay, so from my conclusion, lines homozygously positive for RenBob2 gene, that's a rest group, have lower reniform reproduction than lines without sus in greenhouse, microplots, and field trials, suggesting RenBob2 does contribute to reniform resistance even in a different genetic background. And the resistance results in a lower yield loss under high nematode stress, as you can see from the previous slides, that the resistant lines perform generally better than the susceptible lines. However, resistant lines have a slightly lower yield potential than susceptible lines in optimal conditions, but with the introduction of this QTL region. As you can see, we only conducted this test for last year, so there are a lot of, it's only preliminary results, and there are a lot of places to refine and to refine this study. First, because of uncontrolled condition propagating from F2 to F2 derived F5, we have a lot of contaminations. To really correctly genotype and separate the individuals, we rather genotype each individual to eliminate the effect of contamination and open pollination. And because I have not genotyped the BNL569 SSR marker yet, we can also do that in the future to add RenBob3 QTL into the mix to test about gene interaction. Right. Finally, I'd like to thank Cousin Incorporated to find this project, and my major professor, Dr. David Weaver, for instructing me and leading me to correct directions when I have problems. Also, technicians Roloff Sikkens and Rachel Sharp for actually helping me and doing the project. And also graduate student Adrian Lee, who's pretty expert in the genotyping stuff, who helped me overcome major issues in the beginning. Right. That's what I have, and thanks everyone.
We have time for one or two quick questions.
When we did the genotyping, do you use a gel-based system or the capillary system?
Yes, ma'am. The question is, when I genotyped the lines, did I use a gel-based system or a capillary system? I used a gel-based system.
Do you think that you might have better luck with the BNL 569 with the capillary, or it would give the same difficulties with a capillary system?
Well, to be honest, I have not used a capillary system before. I suggest it's worth trying effort, but I have luck genotyping the parents with the gel-based system, but not the offspring. It may suggest I may have to look into the primer designs. Probably there's something happening through the cross between those two genotypes. We were intended to, the question was, were we going to check about the fiber quality data? We were going to, but because last year was with heavy rainfall, we have planted our cotton very late and harvested them very late, so we did not have those data yet. Yes, ma'am. Her question was, as we all know, long rain has a pretty high resistance to rainform nematode, but in my greenhouse results, barbering has lower. Let's go back to that slide, as that's not actually the truth. Oh, that's a field. In greenhouse, we actually have long rain, the lowest egg count. In the field? You can ask that personally with me after, because we are running out of time, sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.